So we had somebody tweeting us both saying, you know, we know, or he knows that, that we want Andrew fired, but you can't blame him for the Judkin things. I believe Kevin was really my source of frustration last year at the end of the season. I don't necessarily think Andrew's done a tremendous job, but I think there's a chance he could be fired this year, but I don't really want him to be. I just think Andrew, this is one of those things where if you were coming off 11-6, I don't know it impacts Andrew Berry the same way as if you were coming off 3-14 and the failure of the Deshaun trade, which he germinated, or his front office germinated, which is the worst trade in NFL history. I don't think it's hyperbole to say Andrew Berry needs a win right now, and at the very least, he doesn't need another L like this.
So he definitely needs a win. I have a hard time putting this as an L at his feet right now. I just do. And this is where we started to get to in the first segment. Like the idea that, there's other ones that you can predict and you can see coming, and they roll the dice. And I think Andrew Berry, guys like Perrion Winfrey, he was willing to do that early on in his time there. But with Quinshon, we didn't have any sort of red flags or any sort of signs that anything like this was coming. And it's not as if he's been in the building and he's been around the Browns for a long time. It's been there for 2 months, you know, and it's just like, I just don't, if we were to consult everyone else across the league and how many teams would have taken Quinshon Judkins out because of character concerns, that answer would have been zero.
That is, so I will say, I think you're driving at something that is fair. If this was a ISA, meaning like, we didn't have Mike Hall before that, we didn't have Perry on, we didn't have Deshaun, because that's, we're averaging one incident a year here. With people he brought in. It's not like this is a John Dorsey thing. I do think it's going to be really interesting because this always comes out over the next 7 to 10 days. Do we have anyone, any of the NFL reporters saying, hey, actually other teams did look into Quinshon?
And that would change it completely,
by the way.
And
I think that's going to be what
That would completely change my tune on this.
To me, that's where I think because here's the thing. To me, it's a pattern. Even though Quinshon maybe didn't fit the profile of the other guys you brought in that had problems, you can't deny that the others happen. But I will say, all of a sudden, I would be probably tune up that heat a little bit on Andrew if it does turn out at any point that all the Browns really had to do again, much like many of the cases of guys who've gotten in trouble here previously, all you had to do was look and they didn't look. That, I think, will be something that could really turn this into an even worse situation.
Only thing I can find, and trust me, I searched high and low because it's part of our job to be able to research and try to find these things out, but you just can't find anything credible at his time at Ole Miss before Ohio State. But the idea was is that there are certain message boards and certain fashions of that that college, they believe that basically that end came because Lane Kiffin got frustrated with him, got tired of dealing with him. He wanted a lot of money, and they basically offered him pennies with the idea of we'd rather see you leave than hang around. And that's the only sign of anything that comes remotely close to him being a problematic human.
Now, how the arrest for misdemeanor domestic battery over the weekend, I think, should impact how we think here. Beyond a lot of the obvious reaction if you read the police report, stuff like that. I do think that until proven otherwise, we should expect this to impact his rookie year in some way. Because you follow this out to what happened with Mike Hall Jr., or really anybody. This is set in stone now in the CBA as part of the personal conduct policy. And if it goes down one or two avenues, I think we can. At this point, I'd be surprised if there wasn't something involving the league from here.
Well, the NFL doesn't care about whether or not they think you actually are guilty or not guilty.
Yes.
They care about the perception of it all, and the perception of it right now. And if you read the police report, That does him no favors, okay?
Yeah.
And so the perception right now is not great for him. So I would expect 6 games, and if he ends up getting it pleaded down and he gets 1 or 2 games knocked off, okay. But I'm living with the idea that it's going to be 6 games and we'll start and we'll go from there.
And if something, I think that should be the expectation.
It's kind of like Ortiz with the Guardians, where it's like, right as of right now, until we hear otherwise, I'm just assuming he's not playing baseball for the rest of the season.
Yep.
You come with evidence that shows me otherwise, okay, we can talk, but as of right now, you should play with that the assumption attached to that. Same thing here with Judkins.
And I just think, specific to the running back room, I think whether it's Jerome Ford or Dylan Sampson, or really any of the other guys in that room, this does afford you an even bigger opportunity. I think we probably have all slept on Jerome a little bit. When I say we, I'm including myself here.
Not me, though, right? We can take me off of that?
Mm.
Excuse me?
feel like we've equally slept on Jerome.
Excuse me?
We're on the lesser end of the Jerome Ford sleeping.
How many times have I yelled about his yards per attempt to you?
I don't honestly know you ever have.
Is he gaslighting me right now, Mac?
I promise.
Is he gaslighting me?
I'm not attempting to do this. These are not my shenanigans.
You might be gaslighting me right now.
JP has gone to bat for Jerome quite a bit.
Can you pull sound of it? Because I honestly...
What?
This doesn't even sound familiar
to
me.
Listen, I might not even want this defense a few months from now, okay? So we might have this... This might be a good thing that you're trying to, like, Men in Black erase any Jerome Ford love that I've had.
I'll give it to you if you believe you've done it. Because I believe you. Why would you gaslight me to the opposite?
Hey, if you want to remove me from any sort of attachment I have with certain players, and we can just start the whole thing fresh, outside of Shador, obviously, then we can do this whole thing.
No, it's no nothing. You gotta pull back on that too.
I'm a little surprised. I like that Max at least got the memory to back it up here. Yeah, because you know, I mean, we've gotten in yards per attempt debates forever. Jerome Ford averaged over 5 yards attempt per carry last year. I'm big into yards per attempt. There go, he's my type of running back.
All right, so I do think this gives him an even... I think
He's a home run hitter.
Well, I think given that he's on a one-year deal, I think Jerome probably had a little bit more... This whole thing was cooked a little bit more in the books of Quinshon Judkins, stylistically, because Quinshon profiles as a bell cow back, Jerome doesn't. But if you look at it, he's also on a one-year deal, and Quinshon, although he's yet to sign his contract, which is another interesting part of this... There were a lot of things that, like, I think Quinshon probably didn't have to do that much to take this job. This is the kind of thing, if you don't know when this kid's going to be available, all of a sudden that could really go in favor of Jerome going into a contract
year. Well, not only Jerome, but also how about Dylan Sampson, too? Yep. I mean, like, when we interviewed Dylan Sampson a couple weeks ago, what was that, 2-3 weeks ago, somewhere in that age? Somewhere in that range. I think you were off for that day. And I remember, like, laying it out for Dylan. I was like, does it bother you a little bit that you were the SEC Offensive Player of the Year? You were he set all sorts of different rushing records at Tennessee. Basically, when it came to college football, there's nothing more that man could accomplish next to winning a Heisman. Like, there's nothing more he could have done. Going into that playoff game against Ohio State, the game plan was tried to stop him, and they were able to do so. But that's why they won the game as handedly as they did. And I remember, like, Dylan was very humble about it all, and he had such a, well, you know, I could be better in certain areas approach, but I want to almost yell for him. Like, he is very, very talented, and this type of thing, we talk about Wally Pipp all the time in sports radio in general, but this is the type of thing. Like, maybe you get Wally Pipped in this, and Sampson in the first 6 weeks, while Judkins is on the sideline, showcases why he was so good in college.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting. Sampson and Ford kind of profile is similar backs, meaning... I hate the term change of pace in 2025, but that's kind of how they've been thought of. Receiving, third down back, speed guys, home run hitters. We've thrown a bunch of football jargon at it. I would imagine that these guys, because here's the thing. I don't know. I think the Browns know they need to return to the running game. And if you don't have one guy like Judkins who might be able to give you 20 rushes a game and then you got another guy that gives you 10 or whatever – well, then between the three or four guys you have, if Quinshon's not out there, everybody gets 10 carries, and we'll see, you know, we'll play the hot hand on any given day.
And it's what they might end up having to do. I'll be interested to see how they actually appropriate out the touches and how this changes what their offensive game plan is and everything else with the sorts. But this is an opportunity for Sampson in a big-time way, and I'm chalking it up. Like, let's see what you did. As a fourth-round back, we can't expect things.
So this is difficult because on one hand, I look at it and go, well, Jerome's a nice piece. I think the two run. I actually like both running backs, even though, like a lot of people, I probably would have skewed Travion more than I would of Quinshon. But I think they didn't because they knew they had Jerome there. And I do think that's like one potential flaw in the Death Star here is I think Quinshon's your only bell cow back. And that could be something that rears its head early in the season if he does see a suspension, that would be the time you kind of need him up against bigger defenses, better defenses, and against better teams.
Well, you can see why a lot of Browns fans immediately went to why Nicholas Jamal Chubb is not on the team and how devastating that is now.
Yeah, you know, and the worst part is, I'd even just started to forget he was with the Texans. So
when you like, go get him.
My first thought is, well, it opens the door for, he's in Houston.
Well, how much, it's not like Houston. So Houston's got a battle right now. They have like four different running backs that are basically battling for their starting job. It's not like Houston wouldn't be open. It's just the problem would be you'd have to give up some sort of draft compensation to then get Nick Chubb back, which would be one of the biggest omissions of we screwed up.
All right.
I just don't think you can do in the NFL.
I'm not saying I think there's a good chance he wins the job. I actually think Nick ends up being their bell cow back at some point this year. I would actually lock that. I'm gonna lock that in. All right. So much
very
like your Jerome
you.
Ford.
Very
love,
brave of you.
He's got Joe Mixon in front of him who's got money. That actually is more of a stronger take. Thank you very much.
Yeah, very brave of you. Thank you for all your service today. Yeah. And when walking in a very supportive Nicholas Jamal Chubb is going to be a bell cow back in Houston take.
I love your take that you're a big yards per carry guy.
As I am a big yards
people,
per carry
if there's
guy.
People who are against that.
You were. You were when you were fighting for Nick Chubb last year when he was getting 3.1 yards per carry. That was the argument. You said you weren't a big yards per carry guy.
No, I said that's not the only thing that tells the tale of the tape. In the last three games, he looked better than the first three games.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Oh, no.
I don't know
no.
about that one.
Oh, no, Johnny Gaslight. I'm not letting you have this one.
You already gaslighted me once. This is not going to go down where I gaslight you in return.
Forgetting something is not the same thing as gaslighting someone. I'm allowed to forget a take that you had about Jerome Ford when we haven't had the conversation in 6 months.
We should explore that a little bit. Is forgetting something the same as gaslighting somebody? I'm not sure at this point.
I think that's a form of gaslighting right there.
I know.
216-474-0092. What does this mean? What is if Quinshon does end up missing time for a suspension this year off on the heels of the misdemeanor domestic battery arrest? What does this mean for the Browns running back room?
By the way, first six games of the season we've already talked about until we, I mean, geez, if we've mentioned how hard it is, Frank Schwab, when he came on with us a month ago, said it's the hardest schedule he's seen for the first 6 weeks in 20 years of covering football. Think about how much harder it makes if you don't have a run game.
A big, bold prediction for your Cleveland Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.